Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games, hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you for joining us. My name is Tommy Daslow, and with me as always...
Ben Vanel. Hey, Tommy. It's great to be here. I wasn't just sitting there racking my brains for some sort of joke, some sort of shtick to start the episode.
Well, you clearly weren't because you don't have one. So
exactly. Yeah. Asked and answered, you could say. Speaking of answered, a man who's got an answer for everything. It is...
I don't know.
His first failure.
We're back in the echo chamber that is my house this week.
We are.
Yeah. And your girlfriend calls it that as well.
Why?
I wish I had an answer.
And we've been informed of some big moves going on in the Adam Knox living room.
Yes.
This couch is on borrowed time.
Yes. I'm expecting a big old bundle of joy here, and I'm going to get a new couch.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be able to lie down on my couch.
That's the dream.
I'm a 6'2" man.
Mm-hmm.
It's not easy.
It's not easy for a 5'8" man, I'll tell you that.
Ah, damn it. Well, I've got no fucking chance there.
Yeah. Although we both do have similar couches. They're sort of a wooden frame.
Yeah.
Cushions sort of attached.
Cushions fucking sliding off all the goddamn time. I'm sick of this thing. I'm getting a nice straight-backed cushion installed couch.
Mm-hmm.
Cushions, look, not optional.
Right. Armrest situation. I like a low armrest because that way, even if you're a bit tall and you spill off the side, it doesn't matter. These couches with high armrests where you're just boxed in there. Like a coffin. Yeah.
So here's the I like a coffin. For one thing.
So no couch, just people walk into your living room, coffin on the floor.
Welcome to my house.
I can't watch TV from a coffin though, not easily.
You can put your iPad, attach it to the roof of the coffin.
Damn.
Yeah.
Or a system of mirrors.
Oh, sure.
So then you're lying in it and just, that's very funny.
It'd have to be triple mirrors though, because it'd go backwards after the first one, then the right way around after the second.
Yes.
And then if I had three, backwards again. I want it backwards.
Also it's very funny to spend all the money on getting a nice new big TV and then just be watching a reflection of it. So it's just like irrelevant, the size of it.
Yeah. I got a big one, so it only looked a bit small from my coffin. The problem though with like the fabric armrests on a couch now is that they're all very thick enough that it would trick you into thinking sometimes that you could put a glass on it or something like that, which I don't want to have happen with a fabric couch.
Why?
I'll spill it.
Okay.
Yeah.
You could put like a TV tray on the arm so it's stable.
Oh, damn, a
you
stable
table. You might knock
table.
The tray off though.
Yeah. No, I don't know. We'll see what happens when I get a new... But yeah, I'm looking forward to getting a new couch.
I just realized the other day there's a bit of spillage here and there on the cover of my couch. You know, like when I was assembling it, it's got the, here's how to wash the cover. And I was like, yeah, right, as if I'm ever doing that. And then looked at it the other day, I was like...
Tommy been doing a lot of cums.
It's time.
Yeah.
There is just bolognese remnants all over this fucking thing.
That is one big benefit of leather. Tell you a big negative of leather.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Cows get killed?
Naked in the summer.
Yeah.
Hot down, naked in the summer. Cows fucking sticking to my bummer.
The one of the benefits of having an uncomfortable couch is you rarely sit on it to eat. So mine is spotless.
Right.
I just sit at a table.
Okay.
Yeah.
You don't ever like wilding out on the couch?
No.
My friend was telling me she was very hungover on Sunday morning and she was eating dumplings in bed. Which
hell
just
yeah.
sounds like more, honestly, more hassle than it's worth.
Sure, yeah.
Soy sauce in the sheets.
Ooh.
Yeah, yeah, so weird.
Chili in the streets.
So weird. Who would ever understand?
I remember a point in my life where I was like, no more eating in bed.
Yep.
It hasn't really improved my life, but my bed's clean.
Yeah, I can't remember the last time I ate in bed. Yeah, maybe there'll come a point where I'll
maybe
rule out the couch
we'll have
as well.
To call her up and ask her eating in bed.
What?
Eating.
Eating.
Eating in bed.
Eat. And then a lady.
Oh, I see.
Did you really not get it for that long?
No.
Dude, it's been a long time between drinks for you.
To be honest, I still don't. I'm just going along with it to make the bit come to an end. There's not much news in the world of video games this week.
It's that I feel like this happens often at this time of year where it's just before all these big hitters come out. So everyone's kind of trying to keep their messaging on point for like, here comes Death Stranding or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff out in the last few months, but in the next few months, a couple of months of the year. Mm-hmm. But tell you what is a big old smash hit, Untitled Goose Game.
Yes.
People loving this game.
Yeah.
Blink-182 shouting it out mid-concert.
They love Untitled Goose Game and like alien conspiracy theories.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Was it really mid-concert? That was one of their little skits like from the...
I think it was, yeah.
Oh, yes.
It was stage banter.
From the Mark and then a bunch of other guys show.
Tom and Travis. Please.
Are they still in it?
I think they broke up and then got back together or something like that.
I thought that Tom was not in it anymore.
Is he the one who loves aliens?
He's the alien one and he's not in it anymore. He's permanently out,
I
believe.
Yeah.
He might be permanently out of everything soon because I saw a thing that somehow he fucking leaked official Air Force footage of a UFO.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
It was on the news at work. I was looking up at fucking the Today Show and I was like, footage has been confirmed to be legitimate. Right. You know, depiction of unidentified flying objects.
Shit, piss, fuck, cunt, cocksucker, motherfucker, said the Pentagon.
So when you say on the news at work, you mean the just broadcast news happened to be on in your work?
Yes.
I thought you meant the news that your work does because you work...
out in the work newsletter.
They may have read it on one of the bulletins.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because you work for like basically an AFL-based company.
Well,
I'd love to see
station,
the intersection of how that... gets how that is in any way relevant to the AFL audience.
It was a football.
Aliens have been proved to be real on your KFC scoreboard.
But yeah, people loving the game, very popular. It's up the top of the sales charts on the eShop, I believe, and it's even made its way to the ears of my father, who texted me this morning going, just heard them on ABC Radio interviewing the creator of the game, or one of the creators of the game, said, just a text out of the blue. You heard about this, have you heard about this goose game?
Yes.
Now, you're wrong there, Dad. You clearly weren't paying enough attention to the interview because it's Untitled Goose Game.
Yeah.
And,
but that is smart that it is just getting referred to as some game with a goose or this goose game by everybody.
And he said that apparently its popularity is down to the fact that there's no violence in it. And he asked if I would agree to that. And I was like, I don't necessarily know if that's the case.
Like it doesn't have violence in it and it's popular, but that is not necessarily why.
Yeah.
No, it's... And people do get bonks on the head or something, right?
Yeah, maybe you can
proper bonks.
Nip people on the bum.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I wonder if it's what it's rated. You know, sometimes things now in this country are rated like... G8 plus for comic mischief.
Comic mischief.
So like
is
if Link's dacking someone in a Zelda game, it's like, nah, you need to be at least 8 to deal with this. We don't want 7-year-olds running around dacking people in the streets.
The parental guidance recommended for wet willies. the
mild gambling is the other good one for anything that's got like a slot machine mini game. It's like, nah.
And then like a fake drug that isn't real and doesn't exist and has like invented properties. It's like it's banned in Australia.
Yeah.
Well, if there's like a positive effect of it is always the thing. I think that's the specific line they have, that if the drug has some beneficial effect.
Right.
But then
kids to think that
hold on, your fucking mic cord is doing something crazy there. Give it another try. I'm just going to leave this in. There's no point of being quiet for editing's sake.
Yeah, does that work?
Yeah.
because they don't want kids to see the positive properties of this drug that they cannot get their hands on and be inspired to go and get their hands on this thing that doesn't exist.
If kids saw some sort of positive effect of a drug told to them by an authority figure like a video game, they might lose interest in their studies and not take their Ritalin so they can study.
That's right. Anyway, all potions are banned from games because they heal you. And that's, I don't know, it's a drug, I guess.
Yeah.
Harry Potter, banned.
Yeah.
Harry Potterhead, more like. the fact that it doesn't have an interface or like a HUD or any of that stuff contributes to it. And the fact that it is just like an open-ended, there are goals and stuff, but there's pleasure to be gained from just honking at motherfuckers.
Yeah.
It's a very accessible game.
And my dad said that apparently this game is sweeping the world and asked if I would agree with that statement, which, I mean, given the Blink 182 shouting it out, I probably would.
Yeah.
But that's,
Basically a comedy game is like the huge game of the moment.
Yeah.
It's such, like we talked about last week, the balancing act of it being funny without being obnoxious is so well executed.
Let me tell you, that's hard to do.
Oh, I know.
I can't even believe how hard that is.
And also it being made by just four people and getting this much attention too. I mean, when you're being listened to by boomers in the car on ABC radio, that's when your product is really getting traction.
Yes.
An audience who have absolutely no interest in owning a console or the games available on it whatsoever, but think that maybe they'll text their son to know that, and because they know that he's into that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
If it's reaching the demographic where someone might have a sad story about the last conversation that they ever had with them was about some fucking goose game.
Yes.
They just asked me about that and then boom, their heart went and over they toppled.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
If fucking Blink 182 was giving me a shout out, I'd feel so good. I'd bloody take off my pants and jacket.
I don't. Now this is another one that I don't get because of my appalling sex life.
That joke was dookie.
That's Green Day.
Adam.
Yeah.
Song.
Yeah. Well, that's okay. Yeah. Can't disagree with that one.
Yep.
But I think I'm going to get my dad to have a go of Goose Game.
Please do.
Now that he's heard the radio report of it. Mm. He's conversed about it over text. It's high time that he get in the hot seat, take that controller, sit on his son's disgusting couch, covered in spaghetti sauce stains, and do a bit of honking. You know what I'm saying?
I could picture your dad being bothered by a goose. You know what I mean? I could picture him getting into situations where he's like trying to build a fucking model aircraft or whatever.
Yeah, and the goose keeps taking the fins.
Well, you know, the game was made in Melbourne. My dad's lived in Melbourne his entire life. You know, maybe the disgruntled farmer at the start of the game was based on my dad. He used to work at the gardens, the Botanic Gardens here.
Oh.
Maybe someone who worked on the game was just taking a stroll around the pond. Mm-hmm. They saw my dad being irritated by some kind of bird. And they thought, this gives me an idea.
That goose just put my rake in a lake.
I still haven't played much more of it.
I've been playing more of it, just in little spurts. Yeah. It's nice. It's a fun game.
Yeah.
I like it.
Very zen.
I love that music.
Yeah. Mm. The little piano bits.
The piano stuff, yeah.
Love to tickle the ivories.
Oh, yeah.
I've been playing more Link's Awakening as well. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I continue to think that it is an objectionable product in some ways, but it's a good game still.
Yeah.
It's all I've been doing.
Yeah, right.
Like, I'm not great at it. I'm like done like five levels, maybe like five dungeons. I got five instruments.
There's some parts of that design that are old.
Yeah, yes.
And like pretty unclear.
Yeah.
In a not interesting, puzzly way. Just in a, where's Marin gone?
Sure.
I need to go find Marin.
Yeah.
It's a bit LucasArtsy. There was one bit that I had to look up. I think how you get into the castle.
You've just got.
It's a bit LucasArtsy in the sense of like I ended up finding it and going, I don't think I ever would have worked that out on my own.
Sure.
It's so vague.
Why would the stick go there?
Totally.
That sort of stuff. Yeah, there's not really a logical. And it's just a 26 years old thing.
Yeah.
But the Marin
Nobody
bit,
likes you when you're 26 years old.
The Marin bit, weirdly enough, I worked out pretty quickly.
The Marin bit, I hated the start, you know, where it's just Marin by herself. Mm. But then when she brings in the guest, that's when I find that interesting.
Yeah. Mark Marin. Mark Maron Thomas.
No, I got it.
Did you get it?
I got it.
You just
didn't.
Yeah, cool.
My take was going to be
okay,
you sit down on the log with her and she immediately says, are we cool or what?
Oh, yeah, okay.
Hold it up here, up on the microphone.
Up high. Okay.
There you go.
All right.
That's the bit I need you
Adam's
to hold it on.
Mic technique corner.
tell me to hold my penis.
Some of the dungeons, like the catfish one, the one where you fight this big skeleton guy over and over again.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
I went to that room and it was empty. I forgot to go back because, you know, he'll pop up in rooms you've been in already to fight him again.
There's like a number of highlighted bits on the floor for 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's like, I don't know, I wasn't paying attention. But eventually I got through
it. Well, that bit's, if you're not paying attention.
I honestly think I've been trained to not pay that much attention to games for a while. A lot of games really hold your hand and are not difficult.
Yeah.
But I'm finding it more satisfying. It's really fun.
This definitely does have like hand holding in the sense of like the owl coming in constantly.
Yeah.
And he'll say to you, hey, you should go here.
Yeah.
Which is kind of its time, but then it's also very of its time in terms of like, well, now just go to this very vague region.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what the fuck's happening with your mic. It's fucked up again. Talk.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not taking any of this out.
Do you want to swap mics so you've got the headphones on so you can at least hear what's happening?
That's a great idea. Well, I've got them adjusted for our volumes of voices, and guess what? Yours has to be put particularly low.
I don't doubt it at all.
Well, that's too low. All right.
There we go.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The problem with this, though, here we go. The problem with that boy is that I can hear my voice in my head all the time. Not like in a crazy way, but like in a...
Yeah.
You know, it's echoing through my
masculine
nasal cavity.
How is that any different than when you had the mic before?
Fuck my ass, you're wet.
Because he can't hear the disturbances as clearly because he's talking at the same time.
Oh, I see.
Now, everyone listening would have heard some...
Now, this is a video game. This is truly challenging.
Yeah.
A new controller.
Yes.
Honestly, I reckon you've broken it somehow, Tommy.
I don't think that's the case at all. I don't see how I could have possibly done that.
Surely it was already broken and it just became apparent.
And yours was broken before we started recording.
I'm starting to think that you are bad at taking care of microphones.
Dude, I take care of everything. Business. And that's the only one that I can think of. I think it's fine now. Anyway,
worst case, there's a slight disturbance the whole way through the podcast.
Hey, you know what? I recorded a different episode of a different podcast using this same mic the other day. Now I'm terrified about it. And it's all I'm going to be thinking about for the whole rest of this thing. The dungeons are easy. They're like super straightforward and easy, I'm finding.
Yeah, the one I just did, the face shrine, was the first time I've had a point of going, I don't know where the fuck I'm going.
What happens in that one? What do you get?
I can't remember what instrument you get. It's just got a lot of backtracking in it. Mm. And it's where you get the power bracelet, the one that lets you do... lift up even stronger things.
Yeah, okay.
I can't remember what I was...
The second one of that. I reckon it's the one after where you're up to.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Right.
It's just got a lot of backtracking in it. And I just randomly saw a tweet come up that like someone that I follow had retweeted on Twitter saying, the fucking face shrine, it was annoying then. So I was like, and I was in the middle of doing it at the time.
Right.
So it was kind of nice to just see this thing randomly come up of like, oh, other people have an issue with this shrine.
Right.
It's just a lot of, even at the end when you've worked it all out, there's just a lot of zigzagging around.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, sometimes when there's a little pathway, like some stairs going down or whatever, even when you bring up the map, it's not clear how bits link together.
Right.
So you're like, yeah, but how do I get over there? Mm-hmm. Which one of those tunnels do I take to get there? So that was challenging just in kind of like the puzzly nature of it.
Mm-hmm.
But none of the boss fights or anything like that.
The combat's difficult. Fine.
Yeah.
I think because I never got into like these sort of games. I never got into this era of the Zelda games, obviously. I never really played anything like it. And so the thing of like, why do I have to fucking go back to that room now? And now there's a different, like the Metroidvania aspect of like, oh, and then you've got this new thing and then you can go back there. It's like, I'm just not remembering all that stuff.
Right.
Sure.
Which is making it, I guess, more tedious in some ways, but it's still kind of satisfying.
Yeah. I guess that is, the main thing of these games is kind of having a catalogue of, I can't get here.
Yeah.
And being cognizant of the fact that just because you can't get somewhere, the point is that you'll get there later.
So you do tuck
it away.
Because I also like that too when, you know, you're kind of trying to work out how to get around and where the next shrine or dungeon is or whatever. And by a certain point of the game, you feel like you've really gone to every bit of the map so many times. So it does start to become a bit of second nature. And like you said, you do have that catalogue. I love that feeling of getting something new in a dungeon and then realizing like, oh, fuck, that bit over there. that I've, like, I can finally get to it now. Mm. Like, the hook shot was a big one for me of, like, just this other end of a fucking cliff that I could just see tantalizing me for so long.
I mean, the problem with that for me is that I have played this game before.
Right.
So it's
more frustrating, maybe?
Totally. Yeah. It's like having to redo your fucking high school exams or whatever, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where like the first time you're like, I can't believe that I failed all of these.
Yes.
But the second time you're like, I already know where I'm going to fail.
Yeah.
I was thinking about that when I started playing it, because I definitely had this game when I was a little kid, but I reckon I just very quickly didn't know what to do because I have no memory. I don't remember making any progress in it whatsoever. Right. I remember getting it when I was really young and it just being like these things that we're talking about just being too esoteric for me, and me just going like, maybe I'll just try and cut down every single blade of grass on this screen.
That's certainly how I started this game.
That leads me to any progress whatsoever.
It's the loop of these games, I assume, of like, you just do everything until you get really frustrated and you're like, I don't know what to do next. And then it's like, boom, there's that one thing that you're like, oh, and everything opens up for a length of time.
Yeah.
And it's really fun. But then it's like, well, now I'm just frustrated again because this next thing's even harder or has a different hook to it. But I guess that's just what these games are. I don't know.
Kind of, or at least that's what I remember them being early on
with that type
of thing. But it more and more that you play this stuff, you do go, oh, well, I can't get up there, so I definitely will be able to later.
Yeah. You know what would be cool is so they had Link Between Worlds, which was a few years ago now, which was the same map as Link to the Past, but a new game, a completely new game, just using the same map, different dungeons and everything.
Right.
So now that they've brought out Link's Awakening, if they then, now the next move is completely new game using this same map, right?
Oh, right.
And because Link's Awakening was charged as a full price game and it's a remake, they go, here's a brand new game, and guess what? It's double the price. It's $140.
I would love that.
I honestly reckon Nintendo wouldn't be far off it. The way that they're monetizing their mobile stuff now, too. So you've been playing Mario Kart Tour.
I wouldn't say
Is it
been
Tour? On Tour.
Yeah, Tour.
Yeah, Tour.
I wouldn't
the
say
Grand I've... Tour. Mario Kart with Jeremy fucking what's his name?
Clarkson.
That's the one.
Yeah. I wouldn't say I've been playing it. I have played it and decided that I very much hated it and then have not gone back to it.
That's, I think, what I've heard across the board.
It's just bad.
Right.
I can't say that I had massive high hopes for it, but at the same time, you would think that Mario Kart on a mobile should just be a slam dunk. But the way that
No, you wouldn't. Why would you think that?
Well,
I would not think that.
No, but I mean, Mario Kart's good is my point.
Mario Kart is good.
I definitely had I was skeptical about the controls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I haven't played it yet, but it sounds like my skepticism was founded.
Yeah. Yeah, the controls are bad. Well, yeah, there's so many things going on. The monetization of it is appalling. Like, it's so expensive. You can pay to have a monthly subscription that unlocks everything for you.
So what are these things, though?
You know what? I haven't even spent enough time with it
like
to really go
tracks
in it.
Or but
it's like
or
tracks,
something.
Characters.
Right.
You have to, like, this has been written about a bunch, but like, you have to spend good money to even play as Mario. You know, you get, I think you get timed, like, locked out of stuff.
I mean, usually you have to pay $80 to play as Mario in other games.
That's fair. That'd be great if that was their justification for it.
I mean, but it could be their justification for it if they just made it cost an amount of money that a game would cost on a phone.
Totally.
Like, fucking Mario Run costs $15 to get all the levels. Right. Like, do that with this for sure.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you're releasing this big game on there, this multiplayer-focused game. Mm. So, yeah, having multiplayer in a game definitely means that you need to put a lot of resources into it and it'll cost money. And this game has multiplayer, yes?
Does it?
No, it doesn't. Again. That's why I was leading to that. Oh, yeah. Right, I guess
you just play against bots?
Yeah.
Yeah. I played, like, a few races and went, I just hate how this feels.
Right.
Like, it just, the controlling of it just... no good, just felt unresponsive. And, you know, I'm sure a lot of that too is just the kind of the feeling of being, you know, having played a lot of Mario Kart over my life and so probably like looking at it and it just feeling slightly different. Mm-hmm. It's like my brain's being tricked. I'm sure I probably could get over that hurdle if I'd persevered, but I was just like, I don't want to.
Right,
like,
yeah, sure.
I don't see the need to.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. It's a dud product. I liked Mario Run. I liked Dr. Mario World, even though I didn't, you know, keep playing them too extensively. But yeah, this is just a big miss.
A big fail.
A real shame, because it could have been great.
Yeah. I believe that it should have been good. Like, they should have figured out the controls.
Mm.
They're a video games company. Just figure it out.
Yeah.
Make it intuitive somehow.
I think the problem with this, with these phone stuff, is that they're farming them out more, aren't they?
Right.
Like, I think this is made by someone else who's not their internal house or whatever.
Sure.
I could be wrong on that, but I think that's what they did with... So, you know, it's like you talked about with Dr. Mario World, how it didn't have quite that same fit. It's clear someone else kind of working with their assets.
I've just loaded it up. I'm controlling it for the first time now. This fucking sucks.
Yeah, it's rough stuff.
Oh, man. So you're sliding your finger left to right to like hold behind it to kind of steer the car. There's a bit of an arrow pointing forward, an arrow pointing down at my dick.
It is currently.
An arrow pointing forward to kind of... Oh, God, it feels like shit. And
then that looks shit, too.
If you lift your finger off the screen, it said something about that before, that you'll go slightly faster, possibly. Yeah, this does not control well. I can see how you just bailed out of this before gathering information.
Yeah.
And to be fair, I haven't bothered to even load it up until now.
I haven't even downloaded it.
There's something so unappealing about it.
Yeah. Well, even, you know, you hear... Of course, you know, you hear Mario Kart on the phone even before anything had really come out about it. It's fair to assume...
This is my impression of Mario Kart on the phone. Are you going to answer?
Don't pick up, then. It's probably... It's dinner time. It'll probably be a fucking telemarketer or something. They always call it this time.
Looks like they've gone away.
I guess... Should we just pick up?
Okay. All right. I'm picking
up. Let's give it.
Hello.
Woohoo!
Would you stop calling me, you damn kids?
You hear about the idea. You hear about the idea of that, and you go, "Oh, well, it probably will be." It doesn't control in a way that's surprising.
Mm.
Like hearing that you do it with the thumb on the screen.
Yeah.
Well, of course. Yeah. But even knowing to expect that, it still feels off and bad.
Right, yeah.
And wrong.
Well, and like, yeah, exactly. This, more than any of the others, they have not made an effort to change this.
Right. Yeah.
To fit the phone. Mm-hmm. Like Dr. Mario, completely different game to regular Dr. Mario.
Yeah.
Super Mario Run, completely different game to Super Mario.
Yes. And at the very least, if the presentation of like Dr. Mario wasn't great... played like a phone game should. It was responsive, it made sense, and it was fun.
Yeah.
And there's plenty of racing games that are on the iPhone or iOS or whatever that are good, that you control in similarly not ideal ways.
Right.
Where it just responds weirdly.
It does look sort of delayed or dodgy or something.
Sloppy. It's like weirdly floaty and delayed. It feels like I'm streaming it or something rather than playing it here.
It feels like as if they've just taken a Mario Kart from the console and that is built for having an actual controller.
Right.
And going, you just use it with your finger now.
Right.
But it's not that simple. You know, you do kind of need to do it from...
Yeah.
But you know, I always assumed you'd be pushing on the left or the right of the screen to steer rather than sliding around like that. I thought it'd be more digital, like the original kind of Super Mario Kart, which might be a better solution.
Held the phone on its side as well.
Yeah.
If it was holding the phone on the side and then left and right side of the screen.
It seems as though Nintendo wants to never do that, though. All of their things have been portrait mode. It seems as though they've got some reason to... probably because just someone went... Like Miyamoto walked in and went, they should all be playable with one hand.
Yeah.
And then left.
Yeah. I saw a conspiracy theory thing of like, of course
you've been following Tom DeLonge on Twitter.
Of course it's bad. This game was designed to be deliberately bad to remind you of how good Mario Kart 8 on the Switch is and drive up sales of the Switch Lite recently released as a result. It's like, I love the theory, brother. Keep the passion.
This is banned. This game is bad to increase the value of the brand.
Anyway.
Right.
You can suck my little penis. I'm off it.
Yeah, you need stars to get cups and all that sort of stuff. And stars don't appear to be the purchasable currency. This is mobile gamer shit.
I deleted it off my phone straight away.
Right.
Now that's...
That's hatred.
Yeah.
Get off my fucking phone.
Oh, boy. Straight away, a New York set, which is like Mario, some tickets and some pink crystals or something, $30.99 on special offer.
Yeah. Someone pointed out that a month of a subscription to Mario Kart Tour costs more than a year subscription to the Switch Online.
Fuck, mate.
That's fucking nuts.
Yeah.
I reckon this will just be dead in the water within. I can't see anyone committing to this.
$8 for a month is more than Apple Arcade, which I've been continuing to fuck with Apple Arcade.
Oh, yeah. So I played What the Golf with Marc Maron. I really like it. It's really fun. When you were talking about like having to tilt the phone and shit around, I was like, that's going to be awkward and I'm going to put it down immediately. It's fun.
It's good.
It's a really good game. Those little like end of course word gimmick things, I didn't bother me at all. I just was like, oh, that's what you meant. I might as well just say end of course.
Yeah.
Like, I just tuned it out completely.
It's like a de facto like name of the level, but I think they don't want to tell you it at the start because often a lot of the fun is being dropped in and going, oh, now what's going on in this one?
Yeah. Sure.
So if it said, oh, this one's Mario, I'd be like, oh, okay. I know what's coming now.
Totally. But as with every mobile game, I played it for 40 minutes and forgot that I owned it.
Right.
So I just don't think Apple Arcade's for me. But it was fun.
Sure.
I have been coming back to this a bit more. Like just remembering it when I'm, on a train or whatever. Going, oh, yeah, cool. I'll do two holes of that.
Just sounds like some like old Soviet era novel sitting there on a train remembering.
Remembering What the Golf. Staring out the window.
Yeah, you see a golf ball out the window like, ah, oh, that reminds me of when I was young.
Rosebud. some of the other stuff on there is fine. It's all a bit mobile gamey.
Have you played any more of it?
I expect that it is.
I played mainly What the Golf still. That's the best one. I played a bit more Choo Choo Rocket still. I haven't actually jumped into any of the new bastards. I need to... it's coming to everything else soon as well. Like the new Mac OS will maybe be out by the time this podcast is out.
Oh, right.
Oh, okay.
Something like that. So I want to try... thinking it can... a phone up to a controller up to the phone.
Yep. Yes.
And to the Mac and all that sort of stuff. I want to run it through its paces.
Yeah. That'll be interesting because I imagine there's a lot of stuff on there that probably does lend itself more to being played with a controller than just the touchscreen. But that is cool to have a service where you are getting this mix of stuff that is, you can just play on the shitter or on the bus or whatever, or you can have it on your lappy on
the modes
plane.
Of being.
Yes.
You're either, in this life, you're either on the can or on the bus.
And the goal
which
is
one are you going to be?
To shit on the bus.
Damn.
That's what I want to do.
The ultimate freedom.
Remember when, do you ever get like a coach on a bus on a school excursion?
Mm.
And there was a shitter on the bus?
I think we only got buses for school excursions.
Well, the ones with the toilet.
We have a hovercraft for school excursions. No, I've never been on a bus with a toilet.
I have like a couple of times, but the toilet was always out of service.
Yeah, right.
I would think that's a way more common thing for our American listeners, getting buses over long destinations.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always understood that it's kind of seen as not a done thing to use the toilet on a bus.
Right.
Especially if you're taking a shit.
For a shit specifically.
Yeah. It's just considered incredibly bad manners.
Right.
Yeah.
I think that's the kind of unwritten law of etiquette that I believe to be true.
Okay.
This will be a great thread in our Facebook group this week.
What's the difference between being on, like, if you're on the rest of the bus that isn't the toilet, you're pretty much in a stall next to that toilet. Do you know what I mean?
I think that's what the point is.
I think it's rude to shit directly next to someone.
Yes. If you're on a school excursion to a public toilet, but you were doing schoolwork, you wouldn't want to be the one kid going like, I guess I'm going to use the toilet while I'm here and stinking up the joint.
Yeah.
If I'm in a public toilet and someone's shitting in one of the toilets and there are two toilets, then there's only one toilet and it's occupied.
You're just waiting outside?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I hate it when someone will come in and start going like, oh, oh come on.
How's this happening again?
You should stop doing that then.
Nah, I like it.
I'm only ever in a public toilet if it's just an emergency situation though. So it's
but
like
so
I don't
everyone.
Really
That's
have
the problem.
Time to be picky about like, well, I'm not going to go in there. But yeah, you're right. I mean, just even the weird thing of like being able to see some other dude's feet.
Yeah.
Is like very unsettling.
Mm.
Not into it.
I hate it. Anyway, the
toilet game, see.
I've been on trains with toilets. That's fine.
Yeah, same.
What else is did stuff come out? There's stuff.
I played Dream Daddy.
Mm.
Oh yeah.
I don't want to talk about it too much because I hated it.
Why did you jump into Dream Daddy now of all times?
I was scanning the eShop.
Oh, it's on Switch.
It's on Switch. Right. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
That's the reason.
It was like I was looking for a $30 game, and
it had to be bang on $30.
Yes. And it may not have been $30. I don't know.
Okay.
I really liked Doki Doki Literature Club, which was like obviously a twist on the dating sim trope.
Yep.
And I'd heard that this was as well. You know, it was either I'd heard it was like a comedic.
Every dating twist. Sim seems to be a comedic twist on the dating sim trope.
But that's because people don't talk about the actual ones, which are all just like gross and
flash games from back in the day. Sure.
Yeah. All I knew about it was that you were a dad and you were like trying to get a date with another dad.
Yeah.
And that it was funny.
Yeah.
Now, I can confirm that you're a dad that tries to go on dates with other dads.
Okay, 2 out of 3. Wow. What about that final piece of information that you knew going in?
It's the least funny game I've ever played.
Wow.
And I'm putting that up against like Super Mario Brothers 1.
That's kind of a funny game, to be honest. It's a bit weird. Jump on turtles and shit.
It's... Okay, Pong. Pong is funnier. Like, it is actively fucking so unfunny.
Wow.
The stuff that we've spoken about for years now on this show of games trying to include humor and it's like, oh, well, that just happened.
Mm-hmm.
That like second, third generation Buffy humor.
Yeah.
It's all that.
Oh, okay.
And there's multiple characters.
Did you expect it not to be that?
Yeah, I thought it would be actually funny.
Okay.
It's every character. So it's like you're a dad. Mm-hmm. You can design your dad from a palette of dads. You've got a daughter. And the daughter is like Juno from the movie Juno.
Right.
Just every fucking line is painfully obnoxious.
I don't remember Juno.
But it was all that. Do you remember any of the lines? I have such a bad memory.
I don't really remember any of the lines, but I kind of get the vibe.
Hey, what are you looking at me, Juno?
Yes.
Was that one of them?
It was all like that real obnoxious.
I got two things in this world, my balls and my Juno. Yes. And I don't break none for either.
Excuse me?
That's from Juno, if you don't remember it.
I guess I don't, yeah. The dad talks the same as the girl, the daughter. Mm. Also, every other character. They all talk exactly the same as this. Basically, this whoever wrote it,
yeah.
Who is not funny, and they all sound like this person.
Is it the game grumps who wrote it, or are they just voices?
I don't know if they're even voices. I think one guy specifically was like the executive producer.
Right.
So possibly, you know, the head writer or whatever, but... Right. The from the research I've done, the emphasis is on this one guy having creative control of the game.
Right.
It's just awful. It's like I think we've spoken privately about how when we go to a bar.
Hang on. Let's not be leaking the private conversations that we have, Ben.
When we go to a bar, stop me when you think it's going to be awkward. And their menu is all fucking joke names for burgers and shit.
Oh, yeah,
and it's
yeah.
the most cringeworthy thing.
There's many members of the Game Grumps do it.
Oh, really?
Voices.
They're all involved in
and
it.
And this guy Vernon Shaw is the co-creator and co-writer.
Yes, that's the guy who I keep seeing popping up in stuff.
Yeah.
But so like how, yeah, it's like the fucking whatever, a shit name for a burger and you're just like, I just want to call it a cheeseburger, okay?
Yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah. Oh, fuck, I hate having to do that.
So that literally happens
Boost Juice has a lot to answer for in that regard. I feel like they popularized that.
Yeah.
Well, and like every place. There were places before that.
Yeah.
Like,
but that happens. You get to a point, it's really early, you go to a coffee shop. And it's like, oh, the barista guy is like, oh, you're going to try and, you know, like sweet talk this guy, get to know him or whatever. And he's like, what do you want to order? And you have to pick of three of the most annoying, cringeworthy joke names for things.
Oh, boy. Like, give us an example.
So you get to suggest one.
Because
I'm making some banana bread. What should I call it? And it's like fucking banana bread Kennedy's or, you know, like.
Oh.
And that was the one I chose because it was the least offensive
That's
of all
rough.
Three.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the humor of the game. It's this like winking, like recursive meta, like, oh, you said the thing. Oh, I'm doing the thing.
Yeah.
There's this awful bit where you go to a sports bar because you want to watch the game, but they keep referring to it as like the big game. And he's like, oh, I hope my team scores more points to get in front of the other team because I dislike the other team because that's what sports is.
Oh, yeah.
And that goes for like fucking 15 minutes.
I want to say here in the middle of this, when you, as someone who openly tries to be funny, criticize something else for not being funny, you put yourself in the fucking firing line.
Yeah, that's true.
Sure.
I want to acknowledge that for anyone who's thinking, who's writing a little comment there being like, well, 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 you think this isn't funny. How about X example of you not being funny? We know.
Yeah.
You've already messaged me about it.
Yeah. Every one of us questions whether we're funny more than you ever could.
Totally. Absolutely.
But also, I think this is like we're longstanding critics of this specific type of humor.
Absolutely.
Yeah. This palette that gets drawn from. And
as will everyone else be in 6 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
It's, we're not particularly far ahead of the curve in terms of this type of humor not appealing to people. Like, yeah. People have gone the other way on fucking Monty Python and John Cleese and shit.
Yeah, true.
Yeah,
I mean, some people still
it's going to happen forever.
It's just not to our tastes.
Yeah.
I think it's an especially grating style if you happen to work in comedy.
I think the problem that I have, it aside from the general idea of me not finding it funny, is that often there's no jokes in it.
Mm.
It'll be someone saying something like, there's this bit where the guy at the coffee shop is sort of like, he's really into coffee. And he starts rambling about this explanation of something he wants to do. And he's going on and on. And he's like, oh, I'm doing the thing again, aren't I? And he walks away. And it's like, that's not a joke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's an awkward person who's not funny saying something they saw in a movie and walking away.
But then it's also not character development because like, and it's emulating that thing. If there were a lot of jokes that weren't written jokes in something like, and it is one of the early progenitors of it, Buffy, where someone would have such a defined and complex character trait in them that them just acting out that character trait was enough to be a joke.
Yeah,
because you go, hey, classic Ross.
Well, and like
from Buffy,
Xander is the one in Buffy who's like the sarcastic one.
Yeah,
but he also is like the insecure one, and there's character depth and development to that guy over 6 or 7 years.
Or like Anya being the one to be like, how about we murder them all? It's not just that she's fucking weird and oh, she's a psycho for no fucking reason.
Yeah,
she's literally a demon who did that for thousands of years.
Yeah,
and it's the juxtaposition there, and her and this fish out of water thing.
And so, and the other problem is that every like I said, every character has the same character.
Yeah.
It's Juno. It's the snarky guy who can't think of a joke.
Now, I'm trying to think of another term than straight man to be able to talk about what this game needs.
Yes.
But it needs a foil or like it sounds as though if everyone is fucking over the top.
Yes.
It needs someone to be in the middle being like, what?
A normal one.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Oh, boy.
Look, anyway.
JK.
Weirdly, most of the criticism I've seen of this game was based in around like gameplay elements. Like sometimes you make a decision that leads to a scene repeat or something like that.
Yeah, I think
it's just like that's not my concern. If this is meant to be a funny game about character interaction, every character sounds the same, it's not funny.
I think there's a lot of dipshits in video games who have this same sense of humor.
I'm sure that that's true.
And that might be a big part of it. Yeah.
These are valid criticisms as far as I'm concerned, but let me ask you this pertinent question.
Yes.
Did you smash?
No. Well, I haven't.
I think I'm really... We've really gotten to the bottom of what he didn't like about it. Friend-zoned by a video game.
I was trying to.
Right.
And I couldn't get through the dialogue.
Couldn't seal the... Oh, right. Yeah.
Also, apparently no character ever verbally identifies themselves as being gay, which seems like a way to... That seems odd to me.
That seems like unnecessary tiptoeing.
Absolutely, yeah. When the whole point of it is it's like a gay dating sim.
It always seemed to me from the outside as though this game was sort of making fun of the idea of being gay.
I agree with that, yeah. Because when it first came out, we had a few people kind of message us and be like, oh, you guys are going to talk about this. And it just always seemed a bit...
I was really put off by it because the Game Grumps people involvement... I know that they're not.
Right.
And there was something about it where it's like, and here's the vampire daddy. He's a weird vampire. And every one of them's like, and here's this, you know, other wacky daddy.
Yeah.
And just dream daddy.
Just this kind of thing of like you playing a character, like you assuming you're a straight man playing it, you like pretending to be gay in a video game as this kind of novelty thing.
It's not necessarily that sort of... as much as like like it wouldn't matter who was playing it. It's the fact that like its comedic take on dating sim is imagine if everyone was a single dad.
Yeah.
Isn't that funny? Do you know what? I don't know. There's something in from the from the outside as someone who's never played it and never wanted to.
It's weird because those perceptions
the
are
comedy
like
aspects.
also what I kind of thought ahead of time. But the fact that it's like, it's so vague about the sexuality. It's like, why did you make it about gay dads? Why isn't it about a bunch of different people of different sexualities and genders?
Or just, it can be about that, but and why is it now a comedy game?
Do you
know what I mean? Like, that's the thing that got me. And then, like seeing trailers and stuff for it before it came out, the fact that it did seem as though a lot of the dialogue was based around this, like, half-hearted, like, writing a word silly is humor.
Yeah.
Which, again, I know I do it, cunt. You've not noticed it for the first time. I'm talking directly to the listener. I know I'm a pot calling the kettle black, but guess what? They're both metal, steel gray, so we're all wrong.
Yeah, everything about, like, the kind of title and design of it, it just seemed like a bit of a clickbaity kind of
It 100%
game
is.
And it, yeah, a bit like, oh, this will get people talking. I don't know.
It's odd. Like, I was, I don't know. I was interested in it because of, like, the social aspect to it.
Right.
Like, the themes, what's this going to be like to play?
Oh, here we go.
And the kind of representation that you don't typically see in video games would be interesting and cool, but it just seems a bit like surface novelty get people in, and then we don't really want to commit to making that game.
To give them right of reply, we're not the first people to have this thing. This is from Wikipedia.
Okay.
A philosophy God damn it, the mic's cutting out. Stop trying to censor me. a philosophy used by Vernon Shaw, who's like the main, while developing the game, was sincerity wrapped in cynicism, meaning the player would play the game because of the intrigue about gay dads, but walk away with life lessons about fatherhood and relationships. Griffiths, who's Griffiths? Griffiths recalls the switch.
You're reading from the end of the Wikipedia page.
Sure, they've told you further up in the introduction.
If only there was somewhere that listed everyone involved in a game's development.
Citation needed. What's citation mean?
Griffiths recalls the switch from the game being about dads having sex to being about relationships came towards the end of development when character arcs have been fully established. The lack of references by characters to their sexual orientation came from the developers feeling that most media dealing with queer people was about societal issues and not about the relationships themselves. So they've deliberately taken that away, is their argument, to make it purely about the relationships.
Which
I think sexuality is so tied into relationships for most people that, anyway.
It's almost like, this is the wrong word, but like whitewashing the sexuality to just make this palatable game, which like the relationships also aren't deep. They're all still superficial and they're all tropes.
From everything they're saying here, I'll read the last sentence. Instead, the game deals with issues like social anxiety and toxic masculinity. From everything they've just said there, it really does sound like they're going, yeah, we made it seem silly that gay dads would date, but then you come away from it actually thinking gay dads are all right.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Like, you come away from it realizing that gay dads are just like straight dads.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And like, so it... In both
which
of
maybe
those,
that's good if you're really intolerant to gay people.
At which point you're not playing Dream Daddy. Or maybe you are because you think it's going to be making... I don't know. The fact is that clearly if they've had to respond to this, the way that this game comes across is as though they are sort of making light of the idea.
Mm. And it's drawn in like a kind of anime style, isn't it?
It's kind of like... No, it's more... I guess like dating simmy style. Okay. It's not full anime style. It's more. It's kind of Western.
Okay,
a little bit though. Yes,
bunch of cowboys.
Yes.
Just talking about it has made me think of there's a manga series called My Brother's Husband, which is really good. Which is set in Japan. It's a Japanese dude. His brother has passed away, and his brother's I think estranged ex husband, who's like a I think Canadian American dude, comes over to Japan to sort of like meet the brother, and they were like identical twin brothers, and the brother's like little daughter, and it's obviously because it's all set in Japan, very different attitudes to homosexuality,
right?
So the daughter being like, so who's this guy? This was this was uncle's husband. That's kind of cool. And her dad like kind of really freaking out and being like, oh, this is weird having this gay guy in the house, but kind of having to come to terms with it because he gets on with him really well. And it's very, very nuanced, interesting take. If anyone wants to hunt that out and check it out, it's really good.
Sure. And I don't think I want this game to be like dealing with intolerance or any like negative social issues or anything. My actual main issue with it was that it's really poorly written and so superficial that whatever they're saying about what their aims are just doesn't work. Humor-wise and... relationship-wise.
Sure.
I just think it's bad. I don't think that it is objectively bad. I'm sure if you find it funny, maybe it's a real romp.
Mm.
And maybe, yeah, if you do like it, let us know why. And if you think I'm wrong, be polite. I'm happy to have a discussion about it. But I just found it really, really unfunny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I'm just looking at Wikipedia here, but Simone de Roquefort of Polygon said, "While it's remarkable and perhaps surprising that Dream Daddy capably handles serious plots, especially if all you've seen is the game's marketing, which again, it seems as though, anyway, no one should be shocked that it's also damn funny. The representation of LGBT people in the game was met with generally positive reception. Matt Cammon of Wired UK praised that the game did not use gay stereotypes. Elvis Favis of Game Informer said on the game not referencing the characters' identities, dateable characters don't ever speak of sexual identities, which can feel strange at times, but it is also appropriate since Dream Daddy is about fulfilling fantasies rather than mirroring reality. I got the sense that this world is removed from those social issues." I don't know if that's a fair bit of rope to give it necessarily.
Why make this game if you're going to remove it from social realities?
Well, I mean, I can kind of say that it's probably fair enough that, you know, if you were gay and you're going on a date with another man, you're not going to sit down and they're open to be, "I'm gay, by the way."
sure.
No, but
if you meet a man and you're just like hanging out in a cafe... Hmm. I don't know.
And you're flirting, yeah. You'd probably have to, yeah.
I don't know.
If you're saying at one point that the game does have something to say about social anxiety and toxic masculinity, then it also must have something to say about any issue that it raises.
Right. Yes.
Does that make sense? Yeah. Like if the game is to, if it raises zero and it's literally just completely fantasy, nothing.
Yeah.
Sure.
And then.
But they clearly are saying that it isn't.
Right.
Yeah.
And are trying to have their cake and eat it too.
Right. Yes. Yeah. I think that's probably the best way to put it. But yeah. Maybe you guys should play it. I think you won't find it funny.
I know. And it was off putting the humor of it in even the trailers I watched, and that's why I didn't play it at the time. Yeah. So yeah.
Yeah.
What if I play it and it becomes my favorite game of all time? I can't even get through the dating because I'm too busy cacking myself at the funny jokes.
I'd be shocked.
It's quite very frankly. Very rare that writing in a deliberately comedic game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would agree with that.
I'll say, oh god damn it, this fucking microphone.
It sucks to have to buy a new microphone.
Is it the mic or the cable?
I think it's both.
No.
It's the cable.
It's quite often the cable.
It's gone. Oh, so I reckon we need to...
It's completely dead?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Well, maybe we'll just continue without Adam. how long are we done? Enough?
Fucking noise. I think just the point that we were making is that Dream Daddy is not professional.
Now this is commentary.
Yeah, it seems professional. And also, I think it's worth pointing out that all three of us are very aware of the fact that we absolutely don't have a leg to stand on with commenting about this sort of stuff other than comedically.
Yeah.
So if you think we've gotten something wrong, hey, fair enough.
And maybe not even comedically.
Maybe not even.
Yeah.
All right. Well, have we got to wrap it up? Okay. What's that, Adam? all right. Well, we better wrap it up for another week. I've been playing Dragon Quest XI, but I'll talk about that next week.
Yeah, I guess you'll be playing that for a while.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. There'll be plenty to check in on with that.
Yeah.
Guys, thanks very much for listening. Get on to filthycasuals.com.au for the links to our socials.
Yes.
The links to our Patreon stuff that we have.
Should we sizzle the upcoming Patreon bonus episode?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
A very funny character whose comedy I'm a big fan of. And his social commentary.
Yeah.
I buy in completely to that as well.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be talking about the Joker movie.
I love the image of you watching playing Dream Daddy going, "God, this is not for me. I can't wait until a week's time when I can sit in a cinema and watch a certain twisted agent of chaos just let rip on an unsuspecting Gotham City."
Oh, I love it.
But yeah, that's coming down the pipeline. So get onto Patreon and support the show. We would really appreciate that. You get an extra episode every week. Thanks.
Super important now because I need to buy a new microphone.
Thanks very much for listening. And as we say at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals.
Fucking micro. Sorry.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.